So open our Bibles to John chapter 16. I want to share on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. There'll be things you're aware of, and some things may come out that you're not aware of. John 16:7, Jesus said to the disciples, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you or necessary that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you, but if I depart, I'll send him to you." Now, when Jesus would speak to his disciples about he needed to die, then he'd be raised again, they really struggled with this. They really didn't understand. And here he's elaborating more so that, well, in his death, he's going to be paying the price for their sin, be raised from the dead, ascend to heaven, and then send the Holy Spirit, where in the promise of God, the new covenant, he would take sin out from us and the Holy Spirit come within us, where it was not just a matter of them walking with Jesus, but he would be in them. And not just in them, but whosoever would believe. Verse 8, "When he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." Now, at this point, he begins mentioning three things in particular about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we need to understand this is what he does, the Holy Spirit. There's specific things he'll do, but in general, this is the three aspects of his ministry. And it begins with conviction. The word in the English, Old English, is reprove or convict. Conviction is where you are come to know something as a truth, to believe firmly, whether it be sin or righteousness, right or wrong. The Holy Spirit deals with every human being. He says, "I'll reprove the world." He'll reprove the world of sin. Or every human being, the Holy Spirit deals with their conscience. Sometimes people say, "Well, if someone didn't hear about Jesus, how are they judged whether pertaining to eternity?" It's what they did with the Holy Spirit dealing with their conscience. And Romans chapter 4 brings that out. That's not just something I come up with. It's Romans chapter 4. But he deals with everyone. So you could have some tribes where, you know, they have respect for authority, they have care and love and some of these things, because the Holy Spirit is dealing with them about that which is right and wrong. In the Garden of Eden, you had the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, where God was saying, "You know, you have access to everything except one thing. I decide what's good or evil, right or wrong." See, that's the Holy Spirit's ministry, to tell us this is good or this is evil. And where that is lacking, then people decide for themselves. So you have all manner of sin, like today, and Romans chapter 1 brings that out. When people reject the Lord as the one to say what is good and evil, righteousness or sin, if you reject him in that, then people, according to their own lust, their own pleasure and their pride, they'll determine what's okay if I kill babies, because that baby I'm carrying is a hindrance to my economic well-being. I heard liberal demon-influenced people saying that now. Now, abortion's back up on the radar again, saying, "Well, you know, it justifies getting an abortion if that could hinder you from getting your college degree and making a lot of money. If that hinders your economic position in life, kill the baby." And they're so bizarre in this, I say, right up to birth. Yet at the same time, if someone's abusing a child, they'll, you know, want to have heavy judgment, but we can kill the child. You know, where does all that end? It's so rooted in a selfishness that it's all about me. So you justify everything else when you go into that realm. Now, I'm just using that as an illustration of what I'm saying here, is that it's not for us to determine what's sin or right, good or evil. That's for God to tell us, and the Holy Spirit is always working to do that. We are in trouble when we don't hear the voice of the Holy Spirit convicting us about what's right and wrong. And I want to make application. I want us to make application here when it comes to the love walk. Because sometimes people get in a habit of being nasty, rude, brass, crass, or however you want to say it, and they don't have any conviction anymore. That's wrong. They might speak in a way towards their husband or wife or someone else that has this attitude to it. And really behind that, you're not in forgiveness towards that person. So you feel justified to be a little bit unkind or nasty. The Holy Spirit doesn't stop what he's doing. The sad reality is we're not really hearing him. So people that are always offending people, I'll submit to your consideration, really hear the Holy Spirit very little. Because he'll convict. That's wrong. Love is kind, it says in 1 Corinthians 13. He will convict us of that. Are we still hearing it? He will convict us relative to, am I trusting in him? Am I trusting in myself or in money or people or governments or whatever? Where is my trust? Where is my love? Do I love him or do I love the pleasures of this life? And to no longer be convicted is a bad thing. When we really want to please God, we welcome that. Psalm 26, David spoke of his integrity, a walk in integrity. And he says, examine my heart, O Lord. Search me out. Put me to the test. Purify my heart. You know, someone sensitive to the Holy Spirit welcomes the scrutiny of the Holy Spirit because you really want to please him, not yourself. And if we ever get weak in that, where we don't really want to hear any correction or we don't want to judge ourselves, we're in a lot of trouble because there's things we'll just let go that are sin, but we don't even call it sin anymore. There's no more conviction. In our spirit. And then someone would wonder why they're not hearing the voice of God or being led by the Spirit. Well, see, it begins back to the Spirit's dealing with us is first in your conscience. And when it comes to raising children, and we had like a series by a couple named Ezzo, who had a profound thing in training children, is you have to train their conscience to that which is right and wrong, good and evil, right and wrong, good and evil. And you're doing that, of course, spiritually, but then even things like don't sit at the dinner table and belch. That would be, you know, deemed as wrong. Chew with your mouth open. I remember there'd be times, you know, we'd have other kids overnight, they're sitting at dinner, sitting there and chewing with her mouth open. I sit there thinking to myself, didn't your mother ever tell you that's not proper to do that? I don't want to be seeing your food in your mouth. But that's just like a simple thing. Sometimes people won't even correct simple protocol things. Now, I've heard in the Arab cultures, belching is a sign of pleasure. Like, this meal is really good. But here, that's not the case. It's the opposite. That's being, like, rude and uncouth or whatever. Well, the Holy Spirit, his beginning of is dealing with us, good, evil, right, and wrong, and that doesn't stop. Now, he says here specifically of sin, When people hear the word conviction, they always think of sin, but there's also the conviction of faith, righteousness, because I go to the Father, or the conviction of who is Jesus. And you only follow the Lord to the degree you have a conviction about who He is. We'll only trust in Him to the degree we have a conviction. We're only going to look to Him for His works to make us righteous to the degree of a conviction about that. Jesus, as Son of God, paid the price for my sin and made the way to the Father. He also includes here of judgment. There needs to be conviction about judgment, that there is a consequence to all action. One of the great tragedies of parenting is when people do not instill in their kids, there is consequence to every action, to what comes out of your mouth, to what you do. You pull your sister's hair, there's going to be a consequence. You're going to feel it on your rear end, boy. And some people, because they idolize and worship their children, will not bring consequence because they don't want to see them cry. Well, you let their sin go, their sin will increase, not go away. It will increase and destroy them. And out of your worship of that child's happiness, you end up destroying the child because you won't bring the correction that they need into their life. I'm not talking about beating them to a pulp or anything like that, but they have to understand if your child doesn't have the ability to reason, so but they understand feeling that pain on the rear end with a paddle, that there is a consequence. And there are everything in life has consequence, whether it be positive or negative. There's going to be that consequence or judgment. There's the conviction of judgment. Now, the prince of this world is judged. He's speaking of Satan. Satan's rebellion was to, out of his pride, to exalt himself, I'll be as God. And when man follows Satan, he comes under Satan's judgment. Hell was created for Satan and his fallen angels and his demons. But if we follow after Satan's ways, then we come under his judgment. From God, the absence of the presence of God is the byproduct of our own rebellion. And there needs to be conviction about this, a conviction that, Lord, I will submit to you. I will release faith in you. I will follow after you and not the devil's ways. I will judge my ways, whether they are the kingdom of God or the kingdom of evil, whether I'm following the Lord or I'm following Satan's ways. And there is conviction relative to that. And sometimes people begin getting a seared conscience, as it says in Timothy, or a hardened conscience, and they don't realize, and they can do all manner of evil things. And you think, how can someone be like that? How can they talk to this person like that? How can they hurt people? Their conscience is hard. And the blaspheming of the Holy Ghost is when you shut out the Holy Ghost from dealing with your conscience altogether. When someone actually does that and they've rejected Christ and shut out any conviction, they're gone. I mean, nothing even bothers them. And you have today some people, you know, they talk about like MS-13, they're so hard, so callous. It may be that they've completely blasphemed the Holy Ghost where there's nothing evil to them that they would do, you know, cut you up with a knife and put you in a box or something. I mean, just all manner of evil. People will wonder, well, how can you get to that point? If you harden your heart, you're capable of anything. Except for the grace of God, we're all capable of the most despicable sin. But for the fact that there's been some influence of God, aka grace, some measure of the knowledge of God imparted to us, even if it was rather secondhand in a sense, where, you know, a parent tells what they learned and they're not even directly hearing the word of God. Some people as a child are taken to church, they'll hear the Ten Commandments, and that's some restraining force or power in their life, even though maybe they didn't know the Lord. Some of you in your testimony, you know, you had embraced some things that were right, but you were serving the flesh over here. But when someone has no godly influence, they're capable of all manner of evil. So conviction, praise God for conviction. Sometimes over the years, I'd be preaching real strong and I'd ask Donna, well, Donna, was I being hard? Because I judge myself. You know, I don't want to say or do anything outside of being led by the Spirit and God's love. And love will correct, by the way. I said, Donna, was that too hard, you know, preaching? She said, that was good for me. You know, she likes being convicted. Why? She's a woman of integrity. She welcomes the Spirit of God because she wants to please Him. When you want to please the Lord, you welcome that. I want everything that's not pleasing, light to shine. And Lord, let your refining fire purify me of that. See, it's easy to say words, oh, I love you. I love you, Lord. Yeah, I love what you do for me, 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 me. I love for you what you do for me, 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 me. But when we really get the revelation of we want to please Him, so anything that would not be pleasing, we really want that out. And you see, the Holy Spirit's ministry, He deals with the conviction of these things. And there are times that people, they've heard Him, they're aware of something not right in their life, and just don't deal with it. You know, you have to seek the Lord for the truth that would set you free, which leads me to the next thing here, verse 13. Well, let me see verse 12. I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. There's an order to things of growing and understanding. And some, like say a child, you don't try to take a four-year-old and talk to them about the economy. And we don't have any, you know, we can't buy a pie for dessert because we can't afford. You don't try and talk to a four-year-old like that. They don't understand. Just like down in Florida, they passed a law. We're not going to allow all the sexual indoctrination in kindergarten. They're not ready for that stuff. Yet the people that want to use propaganda to indoctrinate, they want to try to push and insist on it. Well, wisdom understands that there's an order to things, and sometimes people aren't ready to hear some things yet. And Paul spoke of that as well in Hebrews. And here we see Jesus saying that to the disciples. There's some things that are going to come, but you're not quite ready yet. They didn't understand resurrection yet. So there's some things they weren't going to understand, but they're going to. So He's telling them the Holy Spirit is going to lead you in truth. He'll lead you in growing in your knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, where you can embrace all that I'm going to provide for you. You can embrace all of the kingdom of God. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come to you, He will guide you into all truth. Now, Satan will lead you into lies. He's the father of lies. He will lead you into deception. You can lead yourself into deception, self-deception. People will deceive you to try to take from you, to manipulate you. There's satanic deception, human deception, and self-deception. But it's the truth that would set us free. The truth of who God is. The truth of what He's done. The truth of the principles that govern His kingdom. The Holy Spirit always works to lead us into more truth. Now, in the book of Proverbs, it says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, chapter 1, verse 7. And chapter 9, verse 10 says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is having a respect for God, the person of God, and His word more than your own opinion, more than your own thinking. The fear of the Lord is stated in Isaiah chapter 11 as a ministry of the Holy Spirit, was speaking prophetically of the Holy Spirit's ministry. In other words, the Holy Spirit will work to instill in us respect for God. When people don't have respect, they don't listen. If you don't command your children to respect you, and they're allowed to shoot their mouth off and do what they want to do, they have no respect, they're not going to really hear you. And they might hear with these outer ears, but they're blocking it and not really listening. I remember when I coached basketball, that was a revelation to me. You know, balls bouncing and sneakers squeaking on the floor. And if we'd be doing drills, I would yell out to the boys, you like the drill that are due. I'd have to raise my voice so they could hear me over the ball bouncing and sneakers squeaking. And I noticed something in spirit. God showed me there were some kids, when they would hear you raise their voice, hear me raise their voice, they tuned it out. And God spoke to me that their fathers yell at them, and they tune out their parents, or father or mother. Parents yell at them using anger and such things to try to control their children. And then what that does is trains a child not to listen to you because you're not in the fruit of self-control. A child will instinctively know that you're not in control. You're hurting me. I don't know how to deal with this. So I'll just tune you out. Well, some people, they do that with God. They tune him out. They don't really hear. Oh, he's correcting me. Oh, he's saying I'm wrong. Well, we first have to know he loves us. The correction's not because he's mad at you. It's corrections because he loves you. Who the Father loves, he corrects. Hebrews chapter 12 is very clear with that. So as a parent, you can train your kids not to listen to you and how you handle yourself. They do need to be commanded to respect. When we were raising our sons, it was not an option for you to respect me or their mother. You will. You will come in the house of God and show respect to God. Oh, that's religious. No, that's teaching respect. And if you're not willing to fight for something, then you don't have a high value on it. You have, like in Ukraine, willing to die fighting for their country because they have a value in their nation, their heritage, their culture. People that just that don't value that say, well, hey, I can just walk away from this. There are some things you need to fight for. What are you willing to fight for? Well, I don't want to fight with my kids. Well, you better fight with them. If it's something that's a value within the values of God, you better be willing to fight for it. You will pay attention. You will show respect. I'm sharing the wisdom of God with you. I don't know if it's going, if you can hear this or not, if it's going over your head. But I know it's the wisdom of God. There are some things you have to command. If you're the person, you know, in a parental authority, you have to command that. Not through anger. In love. Live a life that warrants respect. Walk in love with them. And when you're wrong, humble yourself. Say, Daddy was wrong. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And by example, you instill and teach humility in that child. Well, that stuff was all free. It's not where I was planning to go. The Holy Ghost will guide us in truth. It's in the fear of the Lord, or out of a respect. And if you're to the degree you're opinionated and exalt your opinion, you will not hear the Holy Ghost, nor will his leading in your life to that which would produce liberty, peace, and joy in your life. You won't hear it. Let me go on here. Whatever he shall hear, he shall speak. He will show you things to come. Now, this isn't talking about showing you future events, although he does that. He's talking about the work of the death and resurrection of Christ that's coming. He's going to reveal this to you, that you understand resurrection power and you understand why he had to suffer, and that we would, in walking in love, suffer in a similar way. But there is a victory in his resurrection. He's going to reveal this thing that I'm about to do, the things I'm going to provide in the kingdom of God for you. But I want to zoom in on something here. What he shall hear, he shall speak. What he's speaking of the Holy Spirit, what he shall hear, he shall speak. And for us, being under the ministry of the Holy Spirit and operating in ministry to other people, or being a blessing to others, it's necessary to hear before you speak. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. You know how children speak? Whatever pops in their head comes out their mouth. Yeah, if you have like a four-year-old, that can be a little risky. Take them in a grocery store, because they could be in the cart and you're going down the aisle and they could just say, "You're fat." You know, somebody standing there, "You're ugly." I mean, it's just whatever pops in their head. And some people will justify that. "Well, I'm just being honest." No, you're being a child. A mature man or woman of God considers everything they say or do. How am I affecting? Is it imparting love, or am I creating more of an issue here, more of a problem? Am I hurting someone? But the mature man considers and is under the influence of the Holy Spirit before they open their mouth. And that's what Acts 2:17 is talking about. Your sons and daughters will prophesy or speak by the Spirit. Edification, exhortation, comfort. Not prophecies about 4 years from now there's going to be a hurricane. That's not what it's talking about. But just in the words they speak, won't be as a child speaking whatever pops in their head, speaking carnal things. But the Holy Spirit will begin to influence them. And that's part of what it is to be full of the Spirit. It's not just you spoke in tongues one time, but to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit, to where everything you do, you consider it. As he hears, he speaks. All effective ministry begins by first hearing. Let me just address something with men and women for a moment. And guys, you need to really open your ears to hear what I'm going to say. Women have a need to be heard emotionally. Women want that. Therefore, men, if you're married, you need to purpose to listen and hear. And one of the biggest complaints for women is not being heard. Women, in their need, will seek somebody out to hear them. Most women will tend to want to have one close female confidant. And then there's sometimes you need it lady to lady. Every now and then I might tell my wife, "Don, I'm not your girlfriend." Because I recognize there's a certain thing woman to woman that's needed. And most women are pretty happy if you have one real close confidant friend. But as a man, she needs to know I'm hearing her and then speaking to whatever it is. And she wants me to impart strength or wisdom. But sometimes people just have a need to be heard first. "Preach it, Pastor Bill." No elbows to the ribs, okay? That doesn't help the man. May conviction power fall for your man that's married. But whatever it would be, you know, for me, to get up and preach, I'm listening to the Lord all week. I want to hear from him. Sometimes I don't even know till I get up where all we're going. I like when I hear ahead. Puts my mind a little more at ease. But by faith, I'll trust him. We have to learn to develop listening. That's how the Holy Spirit's our example in this. His ministry going forth is that it was heard from the Father and from the Lord, that which needs to be said. And what most people do, you judge yourself. While someone's talking, they're thinking about what themselves or their own answer before you've really heard the person. And all you get's opinion. Maybe it's partial knowledge with some truth, but it's not really what's needed. You know, a lot of times people, they don't even know what they need, or they wouldn't even be talking about trying to figure it out. The Spirit of God knows, so we learn to develop. We listen to a person, we hear their heart, and while you're listening to them, you're listening to the Holy Ghost, who would reveal what it is that needs to be said. Sometimes it's just one kind word. Sometimes maybe you don't need to say anything. People just need to know you're there, you're with them, you're standing with them. I remember learning that when my father died, there was nothing really to say. And people would mean well and say things like, well, if there's anything I can do. But at a point like that, you just need to know who's with you. There's nothing to say. Sometimes just say, hey, I love you. You know, God's with you. Just something simple like that. There are times in life, you know, sometimes somebody dies. People will avoid that, avoid the person who's in grief because they don't know what to say. You don't have to have a whole, you know, spiel of stuff coming out of your mouth all the time. If it's not that right word in due season, it's not really going to minister anything. A lot of people deceive themselves thinking they're ministering to people and they're just talking out of their head opinions all the time. But the Holy Ghost doesn't do that. He will speak exactly that which you need to you, you know, your time with him. We, you know, we come to worship, I expect to hear him, his presence, and to hear his voice as we worship. In my prayer time or quiet time, I'm expecting to hear his voice. When it comes to ministry with people, there's times I'm aware of problems. I don't say anything because I didn't hear from him. And sometimes people think they just have to open their mouth all the time, say something. Till you know from God, it's best to keep your mouth shut. Till you know from him. Sometimes people could wonder, why aren't you addressing this person? I didn't hear from God on it yet. See, you could think you know what they need to hear, but did you really hear from him? When it comes to our own life, the things that really bring change to our life is the truth. The truth would set us free. It's hearing from him that which would be of who God is to the situation or a principle of God or what his word would say, that we really hear it in our spirit and act upon it, and it will set us free. There should be growth that's measurable in our life if we're allowing the Holy Spirit's ministry. But the more we have pride and opinions, it just shuts it. We don't hear. You know, the evidence of opinions is, well, I think. And I've said already over the pulpit, and it could be offensive, but you have to hear me through with this. I don't care what you think. Oh. I don't care what Bill Hake thinks. I just care what God thinks. Because that's the truth. And that's where liberty is going to come. That's where the release of life is. I want to know from him, what's he thinking about it? I found, like say, going through a health challenge, I don't even talk to most people about anything I'm dealing with. Because you know what people do immediately? They're not really listening. And they begin to think of their piece, a little bit of knowledge they have, and say something. If somebody acts on your opinions and knowledge, you can lead them into a place that's wrong. So I found as I go on, I don't even discuss a lot of personal things with most people, because I'm not interested in anybody's opinion. There has to be revealed truth by the Spirit of God. Now, a person might know certain things, but are we trained to hear? I was blessed when I was in the hospital. There was one particular doctor. I liked this guy because I'm looking for this type of thing. And there was tests that say different things. And this doctor said, you know, tests, these numbers aren't always right. And they don't always tell the whole picture. Tell me your story. Tell me your history. So I said, okay, you're asked for it, buddy. So I'm going right down through. Jesus Christ healed my liver 7 years ago. That's not my issue. And so he's hearing all this, and he says, thank you for sharing your history. I can put the pieces of the puzzle together better because I've heard you. Where I've had other ones, they just, well, the numbers say this, you need to do that. And in my spirit, I know that's not right. Because I know other things relative. You know, you know your own history. You should anyway. What happened in your life? What caused this or that? What the Lord did? You know, what's working for you? What's working against you? To whatever degree you know that. If someone's going to help you, you can share that. So he said, thank you for, and he sat and listened for a while. As I'm going through these things, I went through the history. And so he said, oh, thank you. I can better help you because I understand what's going on in your body better now. But you see, this man could be more useful as a doctor because he purposed to hear. But in us with relationships, in a marriage, with children, friendships, whatever it might be, are we really hearing? Do we really hear? Do we really listen? And there's a development of learning to listen even while you're doing things. As Josiah and I were talking the other day, and like I say, the worship leading, could see, like in Jared, you gain the skill with the instrument. You can play without thinking, and then to sing, leading a song without thinking. But then there's on top of that to be a good worship leader. You have to hear the Spirit of God. And if these other things aren't just so much a part of you, it's difficult if you're thinking about G, D, A. What's the words to listen to the Spirit of God? But that is a growth and development where you're building on top of things, and to be able to play and sing and listen for the Holy Spirit as He says the next song to do. Well, we want to, I'm using this as an illustration. In our life, you want to get certain things that are very much a part of you that you can function and operate and hear the Holy Spirit. But if your mind's preoccupied with what you're doing in life or the problems or the work or just what you're into, if your mind's preoccupied with that, you don't hear Him. And this is where there's a discipline and a growth and development in these things where we need quiet time, where we shut down the busyness of our mind, the busyness of life, that we turn off the noise of life and listen for the voice of God. I get so concerned with the younger generation with all the gadgets. Praise God for them. I love my iPad, but I also love the stillness of the morning or in the night and just listening to God, listening for His voice. So meditate the Word of God. Well, the Holy Spirit, He will speak that which He hears. Selah, can you hear me? I'm teaching you something here about how to flow in the Spirit. We must develop in hearing and not just talking too much. Well, yeah, I know what to say. I know the answer. And some of that can be very reflective of a pride, and knowledge will puff up. Now, verse 14, he shall glorify me, he shall receive of mine and show it to you. The third aspect of the Holy Spirit's ministry is that everything he's doing works towards glorifying Christ. Now, he's making specific reference. He's going to reveal what I'm about to do in my death and resurrection. And that is the foundation stone of walking with me in the Christian life, the death and resurrection. That's where the victory was won for us. That's where sin is defeated. Satan is defeated. And as that's revealed to us, the Holy Spirit's always working to magnify Christ, to reveal what he's done, and not just reveal it, but to impart it to us that we can take of the life and power of God. He's always working toward that end. Thus, Jesus could say, you'll know them by their fruit. If someone's yielded to the Holy Spirit, Christ will be glorified. When someone's not, flesh is going to be glorified. You know, in the carnality of man, people like Satan want recognition and praise from man, and they want to be a somebody in the eyes of the world. Where for us, we want to glorify Christ. That is the testimony of Jesus in your life, and that's what you take with you to heaven, and it will bring glory to him forever and ever. Hallelujah. We gather together at the commandment of the Lord to bring praise to God, to provoke one another to love and good works, to hear the word and let the Holy Spirit guide us, to let him lead us in truth. And we give our praises to him, glorify him with our words, the offering of our words, as well as presenting ourselves, because he bought and paid for us with his blood. So the Holy Spirit's ministry, he brings conviction, he guides you in truth, bringing knowledge, understanding, revelation knowledge, wisdom, which proceeds out from your respect for God, putting his word above your own. If we exalt our own thinking at all, we will deny the truth of what God would want to speak to us. We won't hear it. It's just like you're deaf. You don't hear. But as we have reverence for God, we were listening. We're listening. We hear. And as we continue moving in the truth, we're set free. And we move into this phase here that the fruitfulness of our life glorifies him. We want to bear fruit. Lord, search me out. Judge me that I bring forth more fruit. I give you glory because in your death and resurrection, you've set me free. So I glorify you, Lord. I have life through you and because of you. Hallelujah. Father, I pray you just bring the revelation to this. Challenge us in a deeper way, Lord, that we can be fruitful for the glory of God. And we set ourselves today declaring, Lord Jesus, you are worthy. We set ourselves to bring our praises to you right now. In Jesus' name, amen.